Okay, hello, this is Miles McKee with the Gospel Truth Sunday broadcast, and I would like to speak to you on the subject of He is able. He, God, He, Christ, is able. And this message is for the believer and the unbeliever. The believer is somebody who has trusted the Lord Jesus, leaned on Him for salvation, and the unbeliever is someone who hasn't. It may be a good person, a religious person, but you're not resting on Christ alone. That's what we mean by the unbeliever. But this is for us in everyday life, this message. He is able. I want each one listening to me to know the promises, some more of the promises. Remember a few weeks ago I spoke about promises. And I want us to learn how to apply them and claim them so that we would find power for daily life. Boy, do we need to have some of that power for daily life. And many times we're told in the Bible that God is able. Why don't you say that yourself? Quietly. God is able. God is able. Yeah, we're told that in the scripture many times. You consider, by way of introduction, Ephesians 3 and verse 20, where it says, He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Notice that. Have you ever broken that down, that verse down? Break it down. He is able. Yeah, that's good. That would be a good message if there was nothing else. But there is something else. He's able to do. And He's able to do all. And He's able to do all that we ask. Oh, boy. He's able to do all that we ask. That's amazing, isn't it? He is able to do all we ask. Oh, my goodness, Lord, what grace. But it doesn't stop there. He is able to do all we ask or think. What? He's able to do all that we think. Believer, do you hear that? Isn't that amazing? He is able to do all that we ask or think. Above all, He is able to do above all. Can this get better? He's able to get to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask. He's able to do above all that we think, but He's able to do abundantly above all. What a verse. Where am I getting this? I'm getting this straight out of the scripture. Ephesians 3:20, read it for yourself. He's able to do abundantly above all, but it doesn't stop there. It's like there's a completely new vocabulary comes into use here. And we're told He is able to do exceeding abundantly, exceeding abundantly, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is able. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. We've got victory. Can't you sense it in this word? Look at that word. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. My goodness, how much do we need to be reminded of His ability? His ability. We need to learn to lean on His ability. We need to learn to rely upon His power. What immense power. Incredible power, which we see at the cross, which we see at the resurrection. He is able to do exceeding abundantly. Why is He able? Because He's sovereign. That means He's in charge. And sovereignty, so the sovereignty of God is not a cold, harsh doctrine. I know there's some fellows out there, they talk about sovereignty, they're so correct, and they're cold. No, sovereignty is delightful. Sovereignty means He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, above all that we think. Oh, yeah. How much do we need to be reminded of His ability? Now, when we first came to Christ, when we first got saved, it was a confession. We made a confession of our nothingness. and our utter dependency upon the Lord Jesus. We may not have said it that way, but hey, look at it. That's the way it is. That's what our salvation is. Our nothingness. I confess I'm nothing, but I confess that Christ is all, and we have a total and utter dependence upon Jesus. You know, as Christians, we still see our utter weakness. Yeah. And so it's good to be reminded of his ability. When I see my weakness, I'm glad getting to heaven doesn't depend on me. I'm very, very glad. No, it's his ability. He's able. And he can do all things and work all things and bring us to his glory. Now, let's look at this, his ability. He is able. Hebrews 7, verse 25, that's a good scripture. He is able to save. Wherefore, it says, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him. This passage is teaching that the Old Testament, when you read it and get the context of it, it's teaching that the Old Testament priesthood could not save completely. Did you hear that? It could not save. Those priests brought sacrifices, but those sacrifices couldn't save. And the Old Testament priesthood, therefore, had to give way to the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus replaced all the Old Testament priests. Yes, one priest. His name is Jesus. He replaced all those Old Testament priests. I don't know what people are doing running to a priest, some man dressed up in some ecclesiastical gear and saying he's a priest. Let him bring you to God. He can't. He didn't die on Calvary. He didn't shed his blood. Oh, no, Jesus is the only one who can save us. And he replaced all the priests who went before him. And Jesus Christ, because he lives forever, has a priesthood which needs no successor. None. There's nobody to succeed Jesus. No need for it. No other priest in heaven I need. No other priest on earth to plead. His wounded feet and hands and side exclaim, exclude all need of priests beside. Oh, yeah. You know, in the Old Testament, let's say you lived back in those days. And when you sinned, well, what did you need? You needed a priest. And why did you need a priest? Because he was appointed to offer a sacrifice for you. And now we still need a priest. Yeah, we still need someone who can offer a sacrifice for our sins. And our priest is the Lord Jesus, and he brings us to God by the offering he made in his own blood at the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. He's the only priest we need. And I need a priest, and you need a priest. Isn't Jesus wonderful? And now he's able to reach down and save us completely and utterly. He is able and willing and ready to save entirely and completely all who come to God by him. The old hymn writer said it like this. Arise, my soul, arise, shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice on my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands, my name is written on his hands. Five bleeding wounds he bears. Received on Calvary, they pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him. Oh, forgive, they cry. That ransomed sinner must not die. He is able. Able to what? Able to save to the uttermost them who come to God by him. He is able. Do you doubt his ability? Listen, I don't care how lost you feel, how lost you are, how bad you are. I don't care whether you ran from a hit and run. I don't care whether you murdered somebody. He is able. He is able to save you to the uttermost. Why don't you trust him? I urge you to ask him for his mercy. Sue for peace in Jesus' name. And he'll give you peace. He will indeed. All right. So the next thing I want to draw your attention to is this. He is able to establish you. Did you ever hear that before? Unto him that is of the power to establish you. To be established. What does that mean? Well, the other day, we went into a wee coffee shop, sat down. There's some of them here in Spain you can sit down in. And the table was wonky. Have you ever had that? You know, it moved. If you leaned on it, it moved. I just was back and forward. One short, one leg was shorter than all the others or something. We mentioned it to the waiter, and he came probably with a folded up napkin or whatever it was, and he stuck it under the wonky leg, and it was stabilized. That's a picture of being established. He is able to establish him. Establish ourselves. He's able to do that because of the power he has got unto him that is of the power to establish you. He is able. He has got the power to establish us. Many people say, and I've heard them, I'd like to be a Christian, but I'd never be able to follow him. I'd never be able to follow that Jesus. I wouldn't have enough strength. You know what? You're right. You don't have enough strength. But he is able to make you stand. He is able to establish you. And how does he do it? He does it by getting us grounded in the gospel. Listen, if you're listening to gospel messages all the time, he is establishing you. You're established in him and what he has done. Oh, but I don't know that I'd be able to make a stand for the gospel. Can I tell you something? God has worked through generation after generation to his glory, using imperfect materials. Hello? He takes weak people, flawed people, impotent, useless people, and puts his strength into them and uses them for his glory. One of the biggest puzzles I have in my mind is how this wee fellow from Mahara, who grew up just afraid of everything, has been used of the Lord in many countries. If he can use me, he can use you, my friend. Trust him. Claim the promise. He's able to establish you. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Weak, flawed, impotent, useless people. And he puts his strength into them. The gospel is good news to establish us. Well, dear believer, are you ready to hear this wee snippet? It's a sin for you to run away from Christian work. Hello, did you hear me? It's a sin for you to run away from Christian work because you're running away because you think you're insufficient for the task. And here's the truth. You are insufficient for the task until he strengthens you and establishes you. You're not sufficient in yourself. But God, if you think that you're, yes, I'm sufficient, I could do that. No, you're not sufficient. God can't even use you with an attitude like that. But when you say, well, here's nothing. Lord, please use me. You know, the Lord will get great pleasure in using you for his glory, for the furtherance of his kingdom. You know, the power for service does not lie in you, does not lie in me. It lies in him. He is sovereign. sovereign. We are dependent. Remember that? He is sovereign. We are dependent. God is able to stand us on our feet and able to establish us and transform us into usable servants. Isn't that wonderful? And then we come to a great promise in Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 says, He is able to help those who are tempted. Oh boy. Well, I haven't been tempted. Well, I wish I was in your club. He is able to help those who are tempted. Christ is our high priest, and He's able to help us at all times. And therefore, we learn to call upon Him. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus was tempted. Out in the wilderness in Luke chapter 4, the devil tempted Him, took Him up, showed Him all the kingdoms of the world, and says, I'll give you power over all of these. I'll give you power. Yeah, there was some band that said, everybody wants to rule the world. I can't remember the name of the band, but they were very good. Everybody wants to rule the world. That's true. A lot of people do. Jesus was offered the chance to get all the power. He wouldn't take it. He wouldn't take it illegally, because you know something, the thing about Jesus is He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. All that stuff is His anyway. It's going to be all His. Well, it is all His. He is seated in cosmic places and ruling with cosmic authority. Yeah, it was like Satan's shortcut, and Jesus refused to take it. Peter, he messed up. Jesus was talking about the cross, and He said, far be from you, Master. You'll not be going to Jerusalem. Oh, boy. Get thee behind me, Satan, said Jesus. Oh, yeah. And then what about in Gethsemane? He was in agony with temptation. He sweat blood. Oh, our Master went through it. He went through it. He went through being tempted. And He's the one who's able to help us at all times. There was a fellow called Bob Weber, and he was past president of the Kiwanis. Now, if you're listening in Ireland, I don't think you've seen many Kiwanis, or if you're listening in various parts of Europe or wherever, Africa, wherever. The Kiwanis is a young people's organization, mainly organized by the Baptists, but I don't think it's exclusive to them. But anyway, Bob Weber was the fellow's name, the president, and he was speaking to a meeting in a small town, and he was staying overnight, staying with a farmer and his family. And he was resting on the front porch, and they were sitting, talking. He and the farmer were talking away. And a newspaper boy came up and saw the sign that said, puppies for sale. Oh, and the boy's face lit up, and he says, I want a puppy, I want a puppy. And how much are they? And the farmer said, well, son, they're $25 each. And the boy's face just dropped. Oh, well, could I at least see them? And the farmer whistled, and Mama Dog comes bounding round the building, followed by four tail-wagging puppies. And at last, another pup came round the corner, dragging one hind leg. What's the matter with that one? Asked the boy. Well, the farmer said, he's crippled. He doesn't have a hip joint. I'll buy her, said the newspaper boy. I'll give you 50 cents a week for her. Oh, but son, said the farmer, look, you don't seem to understand. That pup will never be able to run and jump. And it's going to be a cripple. It is a cripple. And it's going to be that way forever. Why would you want a useless pup? And the boy, he paused. And then he pulled up the leg of his jeans and exposed a metal brace covering his crippled leg. And he said, mister, that pup is going to need someone who understands her. to help her get through life. Wow. Wow. That's what Jesus can do. He's been through every temptation in the book, and he knows the pain and the agony of it, and he's able to step into our temptation and give us his own enabling power to resist and overcome temptation. Listen, nothing ever has hit us that didn't hit Jesus first. Do you hear me? Nothing that hasn't hit Jesus first. In John 15:18, the master says, look, if the world hates you, that's because it hated me. Does the world hate you? Well, if you're taking a strong stand for Jesus, it most likely will hate you. When we take a strong stand for the way the Bible teaches it, people hate us. They hate, if they're religious, they hate grace people. They don't like us following the standards. Well, you can lie and you can cheat and you can do it. No, you can't. You don't want to when you're saved. And when you're like that, people hate you. They hate you. You don't fit in. You're not a drunk anymore. You don't fit in. You're not invited to parties anymore. You don't fit in. And he is able. He is able to step into our temptation, give us whatever we need. He knows us and he identifies with us and he helps us and he is able to save to the uttermost and he's able to establish us and he's able to help us when we're tempted. And then there's Jude 24. We're going to wind this up. But it says in Jude 24, now unto him who is able, there it is again, who is able to keep you from falling. Oh, wow. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, there's several things here. He's able to keep us from falling. He's able to present us faultless before the presence of his glory. Isn't that wonderful? He is able to present us faultless. I don't understand why people say, well, you can be saved and then you're lost. You can be lost. No, you can be lost. No, no, no. You could be saved, but that's not permanent. Oh, away with such nonsense. One day, you will come face to face if you're a believer. He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to present you faultless. You know in yourself what you are. And I know in myself what I am. And yet God Almighty will accept us because Jesus Christ has undertaken for us. And he will present us faultless before God's presence. Isn't that wonderful? That's incredible. That's astonishing. How he could save a wretch, no matter. No wonder that John Newton said, yeah, that's amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Beloved, if you haven't seen your wretched nature, I'd ask you to call out for God to help you to open your eyes to see what you are. I'm not judging you. I'm not judging you. Because myself, in and of myself, I'm a wretch. For me to be saved, it's got to be grace. It's got to be grace. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Oh, isn't that wonderful? God Almighty will accept us because, not because of us, but because Jesus Christ has undertaken for us. He lived for us and he went to the cross for us and agonizingly died for us. And he'll present us faultless before God's presence. And I will say, that can't be me. And Jesus will say, I'm able to present you faultless. Have you ever thanked him for that? That he's able to present you as faultless? Would you rather sit and worry about inability to seemingly get it together, why don't you confess and believe that he's able to present you as faultless? He's able to stop you from falling. Yeah, you see, God reaches down and saves us when we were dead in our trespasses and sins. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad off. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, he reached down, saved us. Jesus came, the salvation of God, when we were dead in transgressions and sins, and he takes everything of our own self, which we inherited in Adam, and he put it, all that nonsense, onto Christ. And there it is, all our garbage is crucified with Christ. And his blood cleanses us from all sin. And then God put Christ himself to our account. And Christ himself is made unto us righteousness. We have the righteousness of God in Christ. We don't just have something that looks like Christ's righteousness. We have Christ's actual righteousness credited to us, reckoned to us, calculated to us. Yeah. So we can stand before God as perfect as Christ is. So someone asks you, do you think a Christian can fall away and be lost? Say unto them. Say to them, I shouldn't say, say unto them. A Christian can fall out of Christ only after Christ falls out of God. I'll say it again. A Christian can fall out of Christ only after Christ falls out of God. Dear believer, the day is coming, fast approaching, when Jesus will present you to the Father as faultless and perfect as he is himself. All your sins have been cleansed by his blood. Isn't it wonderful? And all our nothingness will be replaced by his sufficiency. And we will stand before him faultless with exceeding great joy. Oh, the hymn writer again says, when he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Oh, may we continually remember his ability. He is able to save. He is able to establish us. He is able to help those that are tempted. And he is able to stop us from falling and to present us faultless before the throne with great joy. Our need is not as great as his promises. Our weakness is not as great as his strength. He is able, and that is the gospel truth.